Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to an incredible guest that we have today. Her name is Deborah Jacobs, and she is from Money Smart for Life. Deborah, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Brooke. I'm really excited to talk to you today.
I'm very excited too, because we're going to touch on one of the most important topics we could touch on, and that is money. But before we get into all of the money details, give us a little insight into who you are and how you got started.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm a financial coach and educator. So I work with individuals on the basics of personal finance, things like budgeting and debt pay down and saving and all of that good stuff. And I work with a lot of young people, people either in college or right out of college, in financial education classes. And these classes cover everything from thinking about money in new ways, what to expect on your first real job, taxes, banking, credit and debt, money and relationships. That's a big one. So we have a whole unit on, like, okay, you have this partner that you think may potentially be a life partner. What are some financial red flags? What are ways to talk about money? What if one person comes into the relationship with a lot of debt and the other person comes in with none? What if one person makes a lot more money than the other person? So anyway, that's what I do.
I absolutely love that. And there's so much that we can discuss when we think about money, because it is such a broad topic. It's so gigantic. But I want to go to a little piece and portion that you had already mentioned, and that's aligning our values with money. Because if we would get this right from the beginning, I think our lives would look different. I think our world would look different and our communities would look different. Let's dive in. What does it mean to do that?
I couldn't agree with you more. And most, I would say, financial experts and people in the world of finance think about numbers on a spreadsheet, think about, you know, income and expenses, think about that, but don't necessarily think about aligning values and goals with money. And I just think it's so important, because we can do default spending, and most of us do. We might buy fancy cars that we can't necessarily afford because that's what's expected of us, and that's what, you know, everybody does. We might, you know, buy expensive clothes or have bigger houses than we really want or need, or spend money in ways that just we expect that we should spend money as adults. And if we pull those layers back and pull back and pull back and really go down into, what kind of life do I want to live? What is the most important thing to me? Maybe it's traveling the world. All right. Well, if that's the case, then we have to think about flowing your money towards travel. And that might mean driving an old beater of a car instead of a new fancy car, a new fancy car every 3 years or 4 years, and putting all that money you save towards travel. Maybe it's working to make the world a better place. If that's the case, then you can flow your money towards there.
And as an example, guys, for me, it's health. If I'm going to spend my money on something, it's absolutely going to be my health. But that was a personal decision and a personal value for me, and no one made that for me. I made it for myself.
That's right. And once you decide what's important to you, then you can really look at all the money you're spending And I work with my clients to ask three questions about everything they spend, the big expenses like rent or mortgage, and the small expenses like subscriptions, you know, Netflix, Hulu, all of those things. So big things to small things. And the three questions are, number one, is this an expense that is moving me towards my goals or getting in the way of my goals? Okay. And if it's getting in the way of my goals, what can I do to remove that obstacle? So that's the first question. The second question is kind of the Marie Kondo question. You know, does this spark joy or does this add value to my life? And of course, there are expenses in our lives that don't make us joyful, but that we need. And those might be medical expenses, or they might be the electric bill, or, you know, things like that. They won't necessarily make us joyful, but we need them. So the second question is, does it either add value to our life or do we need it? And then the third question is, if yes to question number two, is there a way to get the same value, the same level of satisfaction for less? And there usually is. And then you flow your money again towards that thing, that experience, that whatever it is. Maybe it's motorcycles, you know, maybe it's health. It could be anything to flow your money towards.
Mm-hmm. One of my mentors says that the way that we spend our money is a direct reflection of how we feel about ourselves and our own self-worth. Do you agree?
I do agree with that. I think how we work with money is an indication of how we work with life. And money is so intertwined with everything else we do. I am not saying that you have to be money focused 24/7, 365 days a year. And in fact, I would say that your life is probably not that joyful if you are focused on money 24/7, 365. On the one hand. On the other hand, no matter what else you do in life, it has to do with money. Traveling has to do with money. Family has to do with money. You know, everything, money intersects with just about everything else we do. So if you can take a deep breath, know that you are in control of your money rather than your money being in control of you. If you can make decisions about your money wisely and you don't feel like you're always sacrificing on the one hand, or that you're just, you know, well, you know, the world's a terrible place. It's going to end tomorrow. So we might as well just spend everything we have right now. And, you know, I really feel for college kids and kids in their 20s, because the world is a tough place and we have so many pressures and, you know, world events and wars and environment and so many things weighing down on us, and inflation, you know. So with young people, I think that there is not necessarily a feeling of abundance and a feeling of the world is an infinite place and, you know, the world is my oyster, that for previous generations, many people did feel that way. So my heart goes out to young people, and I'm a mom of two kids in their 20s. So I get this on a very intimate level. And so it's tough, but on the other hand, there are so many things that you can do to make your money life, your financial life work for you. And it doesn't mean that you have to major in finance and, you know, go work at one of the big banks. You can, if that's what sparks joy for you, by all means do it. But I do feel for a lot of people who are taking those kinds of jobs just because they feel like it's what they have to do.
You know, one of my other mentors, oh goodness, this is bringing up so much for me, says that sometimes we make decisions with our money to feel worthy and acceptable. And what you just said about that job, sometimes we take a job to feel worthy and acceptable. And I would even add safe, in a world that sometimes doesn't feel safe. So how do we build that foundation of safety? If you're a young person now, how do you build that safety with your money so that you don't have to make those impossible decisions later?
I would say there are a few things. Number one, it really, in many cases, is more important what you do with your money than how much you make. Not always. If you are struggling to put food on the table, and if you can't pay the rent, and you may end up on the street, you have an income problem. And that is not, I do not want to make a blanket statement that, if you just manage your money better, then you'll be fine. Because there are a lot of people in the world who are really struggling. And if that's the case, then we need to talk about income and ways of generating more income. And it might be being entrepreneurial, starting a little side business. This is in many people, it's the gig economy, which has its benefits and not so great things about it. But I always tell my kids, I have one daughter who's a professional dancer. She's a contemporary dancer. She's living her dream, but she is not making a ton of money because dancers don't make a ton of money. So she knows that to sustain herself long term, she needs to be entrepreneurial. And she needs to do something in addition to dancing. So I always tell both of my kids that your ability to make money legally is limited only by the boundaries of your imagination. I mean, there are people, this is going to sound ridiculous. There are people making a lot of money picking up dog poop. They just started a little business in their neighborhood for people who let their dogs out in the yard and don't want to clean up after them. Not what I want to be doing, but it's a way to be making money. There are people making money, really anything that you are good at, that you enjoy doing, and that you can teach other people to do, you can make money doing. So if you are really struggling to make those basic ends meet, you have an income problem and you need to increase your income. And that could be negotiating a higher salary at your job. It could be getting a different kind of job. It could be being entrepreneurial. Things. However, if you have enough money to put food on the table and you have enough money to keep a roof over your head, and yet you're stressed all the time about money, and you're not able to sleep, and you're not saving anything, and you're living paycheck to paycheck, or you're really, don't know how you're going to keep going at the rate that you're going, then what you have is a money management problem. And so there are a few things. If you're in that position, enough is coming in to sustain yourself, and yet you're still feeling super stressed about money. You don't know where it's going. Maybe you're racking up some credit card debt. Then there are a few things. So I have three basic golden rules. One is, it's going to sound very glib, and I do not mean it this way, and that is spend less than you earn. It's very easy to say, and it's much harder to do when we have our friends telling us, come on, let's go out and let's do this and let's do that. And they're getting apartments in the city and they're, your friends are doing all these things. And if you do those things too, you find yourself in some trouble with money. So you have to really look at all of your spending. Again, align your spending with what your values and goals are and figure out how to spend less than you earn. It's really the only way to make yourself safe in an uncertain world is to spend less than you earn. That might mean living with a whole bunch of roommates. It might mean living at home for a while if that's a possibility for you. It might mean not living in the exact location you want to live in. Maybe it means living a little bit further out from the center of where everything's happening. It could mean eating at home more than going out. Doesn't mean you don't have to be social. Maybe you call your friends up and say, look, let's have a potluck. Everybody bring something and we'll go to my house and we'll play board games or whatever. If you want to go out to the club and go dancing, do it. just don't do it several nights a week. You know, figure out, make it something special so that you're spending less money. You really have to figure out how to spend less. So that's rule number one. Rule number two is don't spend tomorrow's income. So many people get in trouble because they're counting on something that may or may not come in, a bonus at work, money their parents are going to give them that doesn't end up showing up, an inheritance that doesn't happen, even credit cards.
Student loan forgiveness. This one comes to mind, guys.
Yeah. Well, student loans are kind of in a different category. So yes, student loans. So a lot of people are in trouble because of student loans. Student loan debt in the United States is a huge burden on a lot of people. But your education can take you far. So it's what we call an appreciating asset. It adds value. It makes you more valuable. So it's not necessarily money that is not well spent. If you go to graduate school, I'm not going to slam anybody's major, but I'll just use a couple of examples. If you go to graduate school for art history because you like art, that may not be the wisest choice because that's not going to be a great return on investment, and it's going to be a lot of money that you're going to end up owing when it's over. So that's just one example. Graduate school should be, I believe undergraduate education, you should be learning about everything. Graduate education, if you need that degree for the profession you want to be in, that makes sense. And there are many ways to reduce that when you come out. There are now in the United States, there are income-based repayment plans. If you work for a nonprofit for 10 years, this public student loan forgiveness, this used to be not a great program. It used to be that people spent many years thinking that they were going to get it forgiven, and then it wasn't forgiven in the end because they didn't dot all the I's and cross all the T's. That's changed. I'm not going to guarantee that you'll get it, but look into it. Public service loan forgiveness now, 10 years of working in a hospital or as a teacher or any nonprofit, and whatever it pay, you have to pay your loan back for 10 years on an income-based repayment plan. So it's like maybe 10% of your income. And then after 10 years, forgiven with no tax consequence. Program is working much better now than it used to.
That's very, very good. And it, you know, what you were talking about in terms of hoping that things will come, I actually have a lot of friends personally who are waiting on quote unquote mass student loan forgiveness. So they bought new homes, new cars, spent on luxury vacations, and that can get us in so much trouble. So going back to your second rule, it's very, very scary when we spend and we don't know that we're going to have that money.
Yeah, so much trouble. It can get us into so much trouble spending money we don't yet have. So please don't do that. If you're expecting money to come in, or you're expecting a big bonus, or you're expecting a loan to be forgiven, fantastic. Put it aside as ice cream on the cake, but it's not the cake, right? So you don't ever want to spend it. I work with a lot of clients who have gotten into trouble. I have clients right now who were counting on an inheritance. They bought a very expensive home, and the inheritance never came. And so now they're in the position of possibly having to sell that dream home that they love. So, you know, and also credit cards are a form of spending future money. So we get that credit card, and the credit card companies prey on students. They send out these cards with all these like, oh, get points. And so you get that shiny little card and you think, yay, now I can go spend, you know, I can go spend $3,000, even though I don't have $3,000 in the bank. Please don't do that. Credit cards are great. They can help build your credit history, and they can be there for an emergency. You know, if you're break down on the side of the road and you need help or something like that. That's what credit cards are for. But credit cards are not free money. I work with a lot of people who are now with the higher interest rates. They're going down a little bit, but right now, 29% interest. So if they have $10,000 debt on credit cards, that's a lot of money that they're spending on interest. So rule number two, don't spend future money. And rule number three is save and invest, particularly invest early and often. So I'm not a financial planner, I'm a financial coach. So I can't give specific investment advice and tell people where to invest. Just make sure it's low fee and just put a little bit, even if it's a tiny bit of money, even if you're making your first salary and you have very little to spare, do $25 a month to start. And then when you get more money, raise that up. But just put it on auto pay, put it in an IRA, put it somewhere where it's being invested and it's starting to grow. Because we all know that markets go up and they go down. They go up and they go down. They go up and they go down. We all have heard about the Great Recession, the stock market crash of this year and that year and the other year. Stock markets crash and current stock market will crash. But if you just keep on putting that money in every month and forgetting about it, not pulling out when the market's down, just leaving it in there, over the long term, the history of the stock market has been an upward trend. Yes, it goes up and then it goes down a little bit, then it goes up more and it goes down a little bit, but then it goes up more and it goes down a little bit. If it goes down and it stays down for many, many years, we all have bigger problems. You know, that's an indication of really, you know, something terrible happening, which we're in this age where we think the world is ending. But I don't think I sincerely doubt the world is ending. And I would suggest that if you want your money to grow over time, that's something that you do. Even with a small amount, start building that saving muscle. You can say, I don't have anything to spare at the end of the month. Well, pay yourself first. Even if it's $10, before you spend any money, put $10 aside.
Mm-hmm. And that builds that discipline. And I think discipline is so important when we think about our finances, when we think about our money, because discipline is our way of saying you matter. Your safety matters, your security matters, and I care enough to make myself perhaps momentarily uncomfortable so that it has that reward and payoff at the end. What's your opinion on discipline as it relates to money?
I hear you, and I think that it's extremely important to be disciplined. I would say, however, that if people are listening and they're young, they're of college age or just out of college, you also want to enjoy life, right? So you don't want to be so disciplined to the point of living like a hermit, never going out, never socializing. You go enjoy life, but do it intentionally. So if you go to restaurants, have a budget, you know what your life costs and give yourself a restaurant budget every month. And if you're getting to the end of October and you have $25 left in that budget category, well, don't go to the fancy restaurant, you know, go out for a few slices of pizza or something, right? Until the next month when the budget replenishes itself for that amount of money. That's what I mean by discipline, balancing enjoying life with putting something aside every month and knowing what your life costs, budgeting out what your life costs, and sticking to those budget categories.
Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to deprive ourselves. That's only going to make us resentful. But we also don't want to be in a space where if we have no discipline, it can be fast fashion is a big issue. I know for many of our young people, our young men and women, even myself included, I love to scroll. I might buy things that I would really never wear, but it feels good in the moment. And so knowing your habits, knowing your quirks, and knowing what makes you tick, and then being disciplined in those areas is so huge. Deborah, I have a question for you. It might be a tough one. If you were going to give three pieces of specific advice to university age students about their money, what would those three pieces of advice be?
Okay. Yeah, it's a hard question.
It is a hard question. Everyone says, oh my, Brooke, your questions are hard, but we always get some great gems out of people.
Okay. So the first one that I would give is to read a book called Your Money or Your Life. And it's by, I believe, Vicki Robinson. I can send you, if you have show notes, I can send you the link to it. It's old. It was written a long time ago, but it's still super valuable. And that book talks about the time value of money. So basically, what she is suggesting that you do is you think about, once you're out of college and you're in a job, you think about how many hours you spend on that job a week. And that would include, if you're not remote, if you're going into the workplace, commuting time, you know, shopping for clothes that are work-related time, any kind of work-related, kind of semi-required socializing time, anything related to the job in addition to the actual work of the job, add that in and figure out how many hours per week you work. Then figure out your take-home pay per week. All right? And then use those numbers and figure out what you're actually making per hour. You may be a little bit surprised. It may be less than you think when you add in all that commuting time and those extra hours around your regular work hours. Figure out how much you're making per hour. Then anytime you want to spend money, maybe it's on a car, maybe it's on clothes, maybe it's on whatever, figure out, divide the amount of money that you're going to spend on that by the amount you make per hour, and figure out how many hours of your life it's going to take you to buy that item. And it's just reframing your spending in terms of your life energy. So, like, how much of my life am I giving up to buy this item? And that's a way to really think about, is it worth it? Is this worth it? Maybe the surfing trip is totally worth it. You know, maybe you'd work even more hours to take that trip. But maybe that $200 sweater, not so worth it. Maybe it is. Maybe you're really into clothes and it's, you know, that's what you love. But that's for you to decide. So anyway, that's number one. I think that's a really valuable exercise, is to kind of frame it into, like, how much of your life are you spending on this item? So.
That is so huge. And I actually think that tip itself encompasses really much more than just one tip. It's prioritizing, right? And it's learning what's important to me. It's asking yourself, what is my value system? Because it could be incredibly different from your sister, could be incredibly different from your friend group, and all of it's okay, but you have to know yourself to make good decisions.
That's exactly right. So the second thing that I would say is, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, and that's the idea of pay yourself first. I think that's a really good habit to get into really early, even right now. Anytime you have a work study job, or you have a part-time job, or you get birthday money from grandma, or whatever, any income that comes into you at all, figure out a percentage. If you don't have a lot of money right now, start very small. So maybe it's like 2% right now, or 3%, or 5%, but eventually you want to bump that percentage up higher and do some mental gymnastics as well as physical separating of the money, but first the mental gymnastics, which is, I didn't make $100. I made $80. And put that $20 into savings. Any income at all, you pay yourself first. And then you've got the rest of the money to live your life and do whatever else you're going to do with. So I think that's a super important habit to be in. And the third thing I would say is be entrepreneurial. And that doesn't mean start a business. It could mean start a business, absolutely. It could mean start a little side business. But it could also mean think about being entrepreneurial even on your job. So if you want to rise in the ranks and you want to be able to negotiate a higher salary in 6 months, then you have to prove your value. And one of the ways to prove your value is to show up as if you own the company. So if I owned the company, what would I do to bring in more clients? If I owned the company, now I'm not saying put up with bad behavior from higher ups in a company at all. I'm just saying think of your job as if this was your own. And what would you do to, you know, bring in more money to the company, to fulfill the company's mission? So those are three things that I think are advice that I would give kids in college right now.
I love that. So if you know, had a quote as it relates to money, as it relates to finance and all these things that we've discussed, is there a quote or a mantra that you live your life by that you'd like to share?
I mean, I'm all about the values and the goals. So I would just say, spend according to your true self.
I love that. Deborah, we are having so much fun. If people are interested in you, they want to learn about your work and what you do, where can they find you?
Okay, so my website is moneysmartforlife.com, and that's probably the best way to learn about me and what I do. I also am on LinkedIn under my name, Deborah Jacobs, and I'm of a different generation, so I'm on Instagram a little bit, but I'm actually starting this new thing. So I do, in addition to coaching people, I teach financial education classes, and I'm starting to record some of those classes so that I can get them to more people at a lower price point. They're fun, they're interactive, they're not just like blah, blah, blah. So I am, it's called Mom on Money, and I'm talking to people just as I would talk to my two kids. And so I would say just keep an eye out on my website for when that will be available.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.